All right. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This message is recorded for the podcast specifically, so not the radio program. So I'm not bound by any time constraints. I don't have any wild bumper music going, although I did think about a couple of things I'd like to add at the beginning just to kind of introduce the show in a kind of vibrant and robust way. But for now, it's just me. No music. Maybe I'll get something really, really good and lively. Something like Mozart, a little night music. You know, I don't want you to fall asleep while listening to it, so I guess we'll cancel that. I'm sure there's some robust classical music that you can listen to. I know that one of the things that I enjoy listening to is the Christmas songs by Handel, Messiah. That you can't listen to that CD or that music quiet. You have to listen to it loud. Turn it up. If you got headphones, turn those up. If you got it in your car, turn up the radio volume in the car and just listen to it at full volume. It is fantastic. If you have not listened to The Messiah by Handel, by all means, get a copy of it and listen to it. I know we're coming up on the Christmas season. It'll be well worth your time, and you can listen to it loud as you want. It's meant to be played that way. And so anyway, I was contemplating what I wanted to do for the podcast specifically, since I am picking up some more listeners. Some folks at the church have been listening to while you're working and driving and so forth. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I do appreciate your feedback. And that's just gives me a reason to want to put these programs together for you and, you know, have it specifically for that without having to worry about, you know, coming in under 23 minutes, which most of the programs that you're going to listen to on this podcast are pre-recorded and edited for the radio program, which puts it down around 23 minutes. But if I add the music to it, it'll be right around 26 minutes. So I've been doing that, the radio program, since 2011. So I kind of have it down to a little bit of a science. But anyway, I wanted to do a survey on Titus. This is based on something that I've already written. It's a completed work. And so I'll work through kind of an introduction, the outline, and a little bit of a background in this particular podcast, and then I'll go through each of the three chapters later. So I'm not sure how it's going to communicate. It's easier to read and then study alongside with your Bible, but we'll see how it goes, and we'll go from there. But this is something that I've had on the drawing board for some time. I did a smaller survey series through the New Testament back in 2013, and I believe that it was for the evening service. And so, of course, a number of years have passed, and I'm revisiting it and reworking some of the material so that I can get it together in print form and get it into the hands of the folks at church. And now I'm just going to try to record it, see how it communicates, and if it does well, then I'll do the other books as well. So I just want to clean up some things and add a little more depth to these surveys. You know, we do believe that the Bible is a living book. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. So with that understanding, it is my hope and prayer that these studies will be a help to you as you study the Word of God for yourself. And take 2 Timothy 2:15 and Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 5 as good starting places for any study of the Bible. And so with a survey like this one here and others that will follow, it's just meant to open doors to encourage learning and a desire to dig a little deeper into the Word. Surveys are not in-depth. They're not incredibly detailed. They're snapshots. Snapshots of New Testament books covering some of the more salient points from the book or chapter, with the hope that once that door is opened, further interest will be encouraged and further study pursued. So it's kind of an appetizer. Survey is an appetizer. It gives you sort of a framework on how to approach the book. and then you can systematically go through that framework, that outline, if you will, and add some meat to it. And that's all it is. You get in kind of the bones of a particular book in a survey, but then you, as you study it out, you start adding more meat to it. And that's what I find myself doing is I go over these old surveys that I preached through and find how anemic they are. They just lack the depth. And now I'm preaching through these books verse by verse expositorially. I'm currently in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and then I'll be starting one of Paul's prison epistles at some point in the coming year. I want to make sure that I'm well into that book before I start preaching through it. And so I just want to talk a little bit about the survey outline for the book of Titus. This is a pastoral epistle. This is one of the three that Paul wrote, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and of course here we have the survey of Titus. So the basic outline is this. Number one, we see sound doctrine and elders. This is in chapter one. So we see their qualifications, verses 6-8, their purpose, verse 9, and of course the enemies, verses 10-16. Secondly, we see sound doctrine and the home covered. That's chapter 2, verses 1-10. So we deal with verses 1 and 2, aged men, verse 3, aged women, verses 4 and 5, young women, and then verse 6, young men, and then, of course, Paul's words to Titus, verses 7-8, and then servants in verses 9-10. In chapter 3, or the third section, I should say, not chapter 3, but the third section, verses 11-15, deal with doctrine and divine grace. So we have a description in verses 11-14, and then declaration in verse number 15. Then in chapter 3, verses 1-8, we deal again with sound doctrine in the world. So we have the present responsibilities of believers, verses 1 and 2, past deportment of believers, verses 4-8, and then regeneration of believers in verses 4-8, and then sound doctrine and heretics, verses 9-11, and then the conclusion, verses 12-15. The outline here is from Robert Gromacki's survey of the New Testament, page number 31. I've read a lot of surveys. Gromacki's work is excellent. If you can get a hold of Robert Gromacki's survey of the New Testament, I would recommend that you do that. He does an excellent job, very thorough, a lot of insight. You really appreciate the work that he put into it, and I will be using that for this and, of course, future studies. But we ask ourselves the question, now, who is Titus? You know, who is Titus? Titus was a young man who was charged with overseeing and reorganizing the work on the island of Crete. He was Greek by ancestry, and the Apostle Paul affectionately referred to him as mine own son after the faith. And this showed Paul's relationship to him spiritually, including his salvation. That's found in chapter 1, verse 4. Titus was saved from heathenism and lived an exemplary life serving Christ and others. He showed a pattern of good works. I think that's important. That's a good lesson for us all, to show a pattern of good work, a pattern of consistency. And that's one thing that is lacking in our lives today and in the life of the church, consistency in good works. We have to be consistent and persistent in our works as we serve the Lord. And so seeing this, Paul was made to feel comfortable in bringing him to Jerusalem. I think with Paul's words, especially to Timothy, you know, if any man desire an office or the office of a bishop, let him first prove himself. And so seeing that pattern of good works made Paul comfortable in bringing Titus to Jerusalem. Paul often spoke of Titus in glowing terms. One of them was as having a heart for the ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, chapter 8, verses 16-17, and verse 23 showed that he had a commitment to pastoral ministry. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 13, showed that he had a great attitude and he was filled with joy. These are all good qualities of a man who would be called to preach and pastor a local New Testament church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23, he was Paul's right-hand man. And so Titus' first mention was at the time of the Gentile controversy, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 1, Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, where there was a meeting held to determine whether Gentile believers should be made subject to the law of Moses. Now, Titus, being a Greek, was proof, i.e. testimony, that salvation was a gift of God's grace. Galatians 2, verse 3 shows that he was not compelled to be circumcised. Titus is last mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, and he was traveling to Dalmatia. The island of Crete. Now, it's interesting. If you read the first chapter of Titus, you get a pretty good sense of what Titus was facing in this little island, or on this little island. Paul's words were extremely strong concerning these people. He calls them evil, slow bellies, and liars. Chapter 1, verse number 12. So, without a doubt, Titus would have had his hands full, for sure. The island itself is about 150 miles long and about 6 miles wide at its narrowest point, and 35 miles wide at its widest. The terrain was very mountainous, leaving little in the way of industry except for fishing. One source describes Crete as, and I quote, "It was at one time a very prosperous and populous island, having 100 cities. The character of the people is described in Paul's quotation from one of their own poets in his epistle to Titus. The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Jews from Crete were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The island was visited by Paul on his voyage to Rome, Acts 27. Here, Paul subsequently left Titus to ordain elders. Some have supposed that it was the original home of the Philistines." End quote. So what is Paul's occasion for writing? It seems Paul's reasoning behind writing this letter was to exhort Titus to reorganize the work there. You know, you can only imagine, based on the book itself, how many challenges Titus would have faced. Paul's concern and action in having Titus stay on the island were certainly warranted. Some of the other issues were the false teachers teaching and emphasizing the commandments of men. There needed to be someone who would stand for the truth, and Titus was the man for the hour. The book's outline highlights some of these concerns: the condition of the work in Crete, Titus' need for encouragement and instruction, and then, of course, the arrival of Zenas and Apollos to the island. It is estimated the book was written around 65 AD, about the same time as 1 Timothy. Paul probably made the trip after he wrote Timothy on his way to Rome. The gospel itself may have been brought to the island by visitors who were there for the Feast of Pentecost. Some of the key features in the book, of course, these are going to vary from author to author depending on whose survey that you read. That's what makes surveys so interesting. I've read some very detailed surveys that bordered on being full commentary, and others that were very scant with the information. Both extremes have some nuggets of truth. So don't, just because it might be a small book, you know, having maybe 25 pages, or a bigger book having 300 pages, don't throw it out, because the insight that different writers have can bring out some things and maybe answer some questions you might have about a particular book. So don't be too quick to throw them out if they're not, you know, super thick. There may be just enough in there to help you along the way and give you a better understanding of the book and the nature of the book and why it was written, so forth, so on. And so you can write your own as well. You know, as you journal through when you read and study the Bible, take a particular book that you might be fond of and then just commit yourself to studying it out and noting all the salient points of each chapter, the outline, the breakdown, and so on. So write down the different themes, the terms, and even the words and phrases that are repeated. These exercises will not only help you to remember the significant points of the book, but also help cultivate good study habits. So in this book, you're going to find classic descriptions of the grace of God, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. References to works. Well, we see in chapter 1, verse 16, false teachers unto every good work reprobate. We see in chapter 2, verse number 7, Titus to be a pattern of good works. We see in chapter 2, verse 14, Christ died to redeem a people zealous of good works. Chapter 3, verse number 1, believers to be ready unto every good work. Chapter 3, verse number 8, careful to maintain good works. Chapter 3, verse number 14, maintain good works for necessary uses. Now, the doctrinal themes, and there are key themes in this book, and they center on sound doctrine. And I would put this under the major category, since they are mentioned throughout. And this is the same as 1 and 2 Timothy, by the way. So the doctrinal themes are election, chapter 1, verse number 1, eternal life, chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 7, saviorhood and the deity of Christ, chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, chapter 2, verse 13, inspiration, chapter 2, verse 5, the grace of God, chapter 2, verse number 11, the universal nature of salvation, not heresy, not the heresy of universalism, the coming of Christ, verse 13, chapter 2, the substitutionary atonement, chapter 2, verse number 14, total depravity, chapter 3, verse number 3, the love and mercy of God, chapter 3, verses 4 through 5, regeneration, chapter 3, verse 5, cleansing or washing of renewing, chapter 3, verse 5, person and work of the Holy Spirit, chapter 3, verse 5, justification, chapter 3, verse 7, joint heirs with Christ, chapter 3, verse number 7. These are just a number of the doctrinal themes that are in the book of Titus, and there may be more, just food for thought. When you're going through the book and you notice these themes, make a note of the verses, and you can come back to it later and maybe study it out in more detail. So keep in mind that the design of the survey, or any survey for that matter, is to pique your interest in the study of God's Word, to give you a snapshot, an appetizer, if you will, of the book, its contents, its theme, doctrinal, its practical, and help you to kind of break down the chapters into manageable bites so that you can study those out independently. And then you can springboard from that into a much deeper study. So that's just the introduction there. The next podcast, I'll cover chapter 1, and then I'll just go from there, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and we'll see how this plays out. Again, this is just recorded for the podcast, and I just want to see how it teaches. And if it teaches okay, maybe I'll continue to do it. If not, think of how I can rework it so that I can communicate it in this forum. So anyway, have a great rest of your day, and talk to you soon.